Everybody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God for all of you. And, I'm going to, I have my regular Bible knowledge today. I used to be able to follow me where I am, and it shouldn't be difficult to do. Hopefully I'll be loud enough. I got the fans running this morning, I promise, because it's warm and we have to have a, and we're comfortable in here, but we got to get, we only have one air conditioning unit working in here, and this is part of something that we seem to be going through. Y'all pray for Promise to have, pray and ask God to, I know we get strong support from Promise members as far as tithes and offerings are concerned, from Elder Latham, Elder Rogers. I know that. And we certainly appreciate it. We get lots of support from you. But we, and even still, and those of us who are here, Elder Reed, Elder Smith, me, Elder Smith, but we need the Lord to really bless Promise Church. We seem to always be starved. And and I keep looking at it because I know in Haggai, he says, consider your ways. And he talks about putting holes in your pockets and doing all these kind of things. And I'm wondering, why is it that as fast as money comes in the promise, it goes out? And as God said, oh, what are they doing? What are we doing that causes us not to prosper? I was looking at it the other day, people move around who have, I was looking at Elder Credit and a whole lot of other people move around the various churches and Church of Living God. And it seems like no one, it seems like they go everywhere. And I've helped a lot of people, but nobody seems to want to help us. Out of all the people we've helped over the years. And everybody wants to be somewhere, but nobody wants to be here. It's amazing to me. And it's amazing to me because I'm here simply because God wanted me here. This wasn't where I planned on being. I really had planned on being somewhere on the Northeast Coast someplace and having a little church that's gone about my business. I came here because God wanted me here. And since I've been here, God has made me happy. But it must be a faith in me that a lot of people don't have because of all the people that I've helped during all the years, they just don't want to be here. And then when they come into the area, they don't want to work with Promise. Well, I know the devil has a lot to do with that. I get it. But I'm waiting on the Lord to move, and I'm asking God, what is it about us? What is it about me that makes this way so difficult? I am encouraged. The Lord spoke to me this morning. He said, well, before Moses moved the children of Israel and got them going, he was 80. And before Abraham got his promise from God, he was 75. So I got about 3 more years to be Abraham, 8 more years to be Moses. But I need, for people, we need some faith. We need some faithful people, not just faithful. And we have faithful tithe payers and various people. We need some faithful people, period. Faithful in coming, faithful in, I keep asking the Lord, why is it that we have such an unfaithful bunch of people? Not among the ones that are here today, because you are faithful. Everybody on Zoom, you're faithful. I thank God for you. But pray along with me and ask God, what is the thing here? Because it says in the Word of God that whatsoever man sows, so shall he reap. And I have sown faithfulness.
Yes.
Ever since I've been saved, I have sown faithfulness to the house of God. And I know the devil likes to wreak havoc and everything else, but I'm getting about like Job right about now. I need to hear from you, and you need to explain to me what's really going on here. Because this is like, like last week we sent in, I was talking to Elder Reed this morning. We got the church has helped us out. We got some money to pay the insurance, and we sent a big payment to the insurance to pay on the principal. I'm going to call him next week. You know what the ignorant people did? They just paid 3 payments down the line, yeah, so they can keep making their finance charges and their interest. Why do you think we sent you a lump sum? Instead of, and this is just how the devil gets in stuff. All bankers and businesses, they understand that. When you pay up front, your payments are up, they don't just take off 3 payments down and say, well, you're on pits again in September. No, you're missing it. You're supposed to apply this to the principal. It says in the letter, apply it to the principal. And I'm going to call them tomorrow and find out what's going on. But those are the little nitty-nitty things that the devil does. And if I sound a little irritated about it, it's because In the course of my ministry, and I'll say this and call it bragging, call it boasting, whatever, because I've helped so many people. And I've been there for so many people over the course of the years. And I was there by the grace of God. And then when it comes down to it, people don't want to come. I get it. You don't want to come to Fort Walton Beach. I mean, people just around say, why don't you find a job? People at Fort Walton Beach make tons of money.
Yes, they do.
You got all these CLGI folk, you know. Of course, I know at the headquarters up there, they keep telling people, you don't want to be down there. I got it. Yes. And it's hard to work inside of a church when the church works against you. It's difficult to move inside of an organization when the organization works against you. But God is greater than this organization. And he has more power. And it's him I'm looking to, not them.
Yes.
But out of all the people that we've helped during the years, I mean, when they were in their 20s and earlies and just going through different things, and folk wanted to put them out and didn't want to ordain them, didn't want to do a lot of things for them, and here was me. And then when we asked, well, when you're retiring, when you're going to put, oh, no, I want to go to Augusta. Oh, no, I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to be everywhere over here. And I'm asking God, what is it about this place that it seems to have such a reproach? And if so, then let me leave too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is a desert place and it's going to remain a desert,
yes,
then give me a hint. And we'll all go find an oasis. But in the interim, you know, I'll do what the Lord has me doing. I'll be here until the Lord says so. But I'm gonna be honest with you. Y'all pray for us, because I really want to. We need an answer. I can't. There's only so much we can do when we're coming here every Sunday. And every Sunday there's a new bill, and there's a new this and a new that. And I know I paid my tithes. As a matter of fact, me and Ellen Smith paid our year's tithes in advance this year, so that we could put the money towards paying off the sign and doing all that stuff and getting things done. And when people do come, the people who do come, they, you know, I preach. Maybe I need to be a show character. Maybe I don't put on enough of a show. I need to probably run the benches and get down on my knees and fall out on the floor and do all those. Maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe that's what I need to do. You know? Maybe while people want to pay their tithes and offers, but I'm going to tell you what it is, though. People don't want but so much of the Word of God, because the Word of God changes them.
Yes.
They don't want but so much of the Word of God. So they'll jump over here and go to church across town or whatever and sit over there and get nothing. Because, and here again, it's not boasting. I look at all these elders they have in COGI. They have learned from the best not to be around people who have more of anointing than you have. And you don't shine a whole lot. Well, you know, you can come on over here and work with me. I'm not trying to shine. I'm just trying to get people saved. I'm not worried about outshining anybody. Shine. I don't care whose light shines. Just shine. So the people are saved. But in the interim, I just need the Lord to move. So y'all pray for us that God will send some money our way. We need money. Not because people that are faithful don't pay their tithes or whatever. We do the best we can. I thank God for everybody, because that's what keeps us afloat, keeps us going. And God keeps multiplying it. It's a testament of God of how we keep this church running with no more income than we have. You know, you look at the churches in Augusta, churches in D.C. and those places, and people have tens of thousands of dollars a month coming into their accounts. They do. We run Promise on about $2,000 a month. By the time everybody pays their tithes and does all that, well, more than that, about maybe three. And we pay the bills and do all the things we're doing. And we're doing some smart things in Promise. I'm going to change all the outside lights, because I was wondering why we have such huge electrical bills. And then it occurred to me, all this outside lighting, I'm going to change all that to LED. And I expect to see probably a $200 drop on that, just because those lights run all night long, and I wish I had thought of it sooner. We do a lot of different things. We don't keep the air running in here all the time. We never have done that. That has never made sense to me, to keep the air, keep your building just cool just for the sake of you walking on the building's cool. Hey, look, you can sweat for a minute while it cools off. I've always felt like that. Maybe that's what runs people off. But there's no need of keeping this building down to 78 degrees all week when we're only in it for about 10 hours a week, really. And we've done that. We make the sign lights, we time that so they go off and do those kind of things. So we've done some good things. We only cool the portions of the building we're in and do those things. So we need God to move in us. And then we come here and pray every day. And a lot of the people I see moving in a lot of places, you know, they don't pray every day. They sometimes pray in people. They don't seek the Lord on a daily basis. And we do. Look at Luke 11 and 13. So y'all keep me in prayer, keep us in prayer, because I think I really, really believe we're doing a good work here. We just need to, and here again, when I complain about people not wanting to come here, I'm only asking for help. Really, I know that this church isn't here to help people, here to save people who are already saved. I'm just asking for some help saving the people who are not. But I've given up on that idea, because some of the people I thought would, that have really worked and helped the most, wouldn't even consider being here. So I thank God for them. I'm glad they're saved wherever they are. I don't unsave them because of that. Wrong sermon. I'm sorry. Not Luke 11. It's Romans 11. That was last week. Romans 11. And Ella Thompson said to me, and I think he was right, he said, well, he said, we just can't change from King James to New King James without and not giving people time to make a transition. And I agree. That's the reason why I read it both. That's the whole point of it. And I'm going to look in this morning, Romans 11, and as we're keeping, I love Tuesday nights because I love talking about the glory of God, and could you move down this direction so I can just focus in this direction a bit more? I love talking about the glory of God, and I love moving outside of everything just being earthbound, and just having a good time, and here again, don't ever misunderstand me. Lord, you just don't know how much I'd love to have a full complement of musicians in Promise and have a choir that would sing and just have a good praise and worship team and just have all that. And that's another reason why I know we're fighting the devil so strong. And Promise, for the life of us, we can't get a drummer. That's why I'm praying the Lord will anoint a man so he'll play drums and do those things and have those and we'll have that. We can't get singers who sing. People show up. Do you sing? No, I don't sing. Do you play an instrument? No, I don't play an instrument. But what do you do? You do something in the world. What is it? You hum Beyonce. So, you know, and so when I look at it, it's not just the people. It's how the devil fights. But I got news for everybody. The devil doesn't fight something unless it's going to be something in God.
Yes, that's right.
You know, for everybody, starting at Bishop Smith, all going all down, this is how the Spirit renews me and the Spirit is right. If the devil really fights you about what you're doing, you must be going to be somebody in God. The only thing you need to do is ask God, how do I get in line with you? Because the blessing will come. The blessing will come. And I have been blessed. Now, don't think that me and Ellen Smith have been blessed, because God has always put people in our lives to bless us. They've always done that. It's always been. I can look at the screen. Let me see here. Elder Mother Ware, Minister Stedmeyer, all the way up in Alaska, but Sonia Stedmeyer has blessed me during the years. Elder Latham, blessing, and more blessing. Elder T'Angela Rogers has encouraged me in great ways, and somebody as sick as she's been, my goodness gracious. We're looking for it, so I'm not crying out to God saying, nobody's ever done anything to me. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are a lot of other people that we've helped a whole lot more, but it's not about me helping them. It's because God gave me put me in the place to do it. It isn't about me. It's what God has done. And if I'm disappointed, I'm disappointed because when they have seen the glory of God and seen God move, they haven't become more godly. That's what my disappointment is. When they've seen how faithful God is, they have not become more faithful. And when God has kept them and moved them and brought them out, it's not a matter of, well, Bishop Smith did this, you need to do something. It's not that. It's that God has moved. God has been there for them. God is, you know, if you, when you find a place where you can find cool water, you need to keep going back to that well and not, you know, well, that well has nice water, but I want to be over here where it's a little bit bitter, but I'd rather be over here. It isn't an issue of everybody should come and cling to me because it's Bishop Smith. That's far from it. That's exactly what I don't want. And if you understand me today, if everybody can understand me, my disappointment is not in people not coming and clinging to Bishop Smith. My disappointment is that when I've given them the Word of God and the desperate nature of being in God, they haven't clung to God. That's the disappointment. Having the Word of God and receiving the Word of God, they would rather be someplace else where they can get something similar without genuinely getting the Word of God. Because when you sit in those places, you don't have to make a decision for God. They get up and preach at you all day long, and you can lack a little word. I like that. Go home and stay just like you are. And I'm trying to keep you from going to hell.
Yeah, amen.
And I'm trying to get you to not only do that, but I'm trying to get you to not only go to heaven, but love going there.
Yes,
yes. And the affections and desires have not changed. And as much as we talk about God and move in God, your affections and your desires have not changed. Where you can say like Peter, Lord, we have forsaken all to follow thee.
Yes.
The faithfulness has not improved. And that for me is disappointing. Because that's what my life's work is all about, is getting people not only to just, oh, I'm on my way to heaven, no, but to love going.
Yes.
To love going without all the beat downs and the rebukes and the thises and the thats. No, love God because God is good.
He is good.
Your future is in God.
We
need to act like our future is in God. Your future is in God.
Yes, amen.
And you know, if you keep yourself from God, everybody loves the scripture, bound in my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and they do nothing about it.
Okay.
You bound in my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and you do nothing about it. And as if you act as if, some people act as if, just by reading the scripture, they're strong. I'm going to be strong in the Lord. And change nothing about themselves. Every weightlifter knows. Minister Stedmeyer is up there. She used to be a long time ago, she was a workout person. Matter of fact, I think that's what happened to her knees. She can chime in anytime she does. But you can't keep saying, I'm going to be a bodybuilder and never lift a weight.
No.
I keep saying to myself, I'm going to do something about this stomach.
Amen, Bishop.
Yeah, and I'm going to do something about this stomach. You know what I did? I'm, as Elder Smith, that's one of the reasons. I'm fasting for two reasons. I'm fasting to grow strong in the Lord and grow close to God. I'm also fasting to get rid of some of this weight.
Yes.
You have to do something.
Yes.
You have, you know, you can't keep saying, I need the Lord to move, I need the Lord to move. And God will give you instructions on what to do. Because God is real. Everybody say God is real.
God is real.
You're not pretending like you're not sure whether he's real or not. God is not luck.
No.
God is real. Look, take a look in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. And so, you know, maybe that's just it. Maybe everybody just wants to, you know, it's possibly everybody is just like the songs that you hear on the gospel program that's on X and Kirk Franklin's gospel. They only sing songs about themselves and what God has done for me. They never, I won't say never, that's not a good word. Ella Smith has chided me about using that. She's right. Never is not the right word to say, because it's never anything. The only thing you can use words like never and always is when you're talking about God. God is never wrong and God is always right. Everybody else, you're never. It's never a point where you are always, you got it. Most of their songs don't elevate their worship to God.
Right.
That's why I like the Nigerian,
right.
You know, and all those. I like all their songs. I mean, I can just sit there and the man just comes down and just say, the King is coming in glory and majesty. Every eye shall see the King. I mean, I can listen. That washes me in the morning when I get up and I just go. You know, the elevation, the little song the man sings, you deserve it. I love that. I just can't get in with BB and CC and all this little muddling around in the earth and all this kind of stuff. And our worship is the same way.
Yes.
And people love the church, love churches where they don't. It's like you want what God has, but you don't like being reminded of God.
Yeah.
Well, I get it. Because when you're reminded of God, God has light, and his light shows your darkness. So you don't want to be with so close to God. The hurting part is, and the disappointment is we don't realize that God is harmless. Not going to hurt you. And when God starts to move in you, not only does God not hurt you, he makes an effort to remove the things from your life that are hurting you. That's the whole point. He's not, you know, God is holy. In other words, in his intentions, in all that he's doing, in every way he moves, there's no evil in it. There's no darkness in it. God is holy. There's nothing impure about it. Wisdom that comes down from above, what God says is first of all pure, then it's kind, and then it's gentle, James says. And eventually it yields a fruit of peace. In other words, you get peace out of it. It brings you to a point where things are all right. Makes everything all right. And people don't want to trust God. We're just so busy running around trying to do everything in earth, and we've become earthbound. And when Jesus comes back, that's exactly where you're going to be. Walking around on earth. Romans 11. Verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God does not change his mind about what he's doing. God's mercy endures forever. God's direction, God's saving grace, God doesn't change his mind about that. The gifts and calling of God that he called me to preach, God doesn't change his mind about that. If I stop preaching, I'll just be a backslidden preacher and I'll get the reward for that. You said you're going to go all the way with God. You decide you don't want to be saved any longer. God doesn't change his mind. You just be a backslidden whatever you are and you'll get the reward for that. But the things that God promised and the things that God will do, God doesn't change his mind about it. And people can't make God change their mind about it. And people try sometimes. Hey, you'll do them all. I tell you what, I pray. I heard you. Forget all that. Disregard people who will pray a prayer of anything that's not good for you. Don't be around people who won't pray good prayers for you.
Yeah.
If you walk in anybody's service and a preacher say, "Yeah, you keep messing me, I'll pray a prayer," God, you know what you need to do? Go find yourself another preacher.
That's right. That's what
you don't need to sit under some preacher that's going to say to you, "I'll pray a God." No, don't let them pretend that they have enough power of God. That when you're living right, when you're seeking God, they can make God do something to you, because God doesn't work like that. Now, if you're living in sin, it's a different story, and they don't have power there. Once again, it's God's judgment. Don't let people fool you about having power with God. What they need to do is get someplace and ask God to wash them and cleanse them and stop them from being so mean and so unforgiving. That's what needs to happen. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these have also now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown to you, they also may obtain mercy. In other words, he's letting us know about the Gentiles. Just like God has given you mercy, he'll give that to them. For God has committed to them all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. In other words, the Lord is saying, unless I bring you out, you're not coming out. It's just that simple. Unless I bring you out, you're not coming out. There's no way around it. 33 is where I want to get. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's where I want you to be today. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Oh, if only you would allow yourself to read to see how great God is and how much knowledge he has and how great his ways are, instead of us being limited to our own minds and our own ways. Oh, the depths of his riches, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of God. You know how we're always trying to get advice from people. I don't even know. I've read a newspaper in so long. They still have advice columns from Ann Landers and all them people. I don't know if they do or not. But I know they have enough on TV. You got all these housewives of everywhere. They're dispensing wisdom. Ayala, whatever her name is, Fix My Life, she's dispensing wisdom.
Oprah's dispensing wisdom, and you just got people all around dispensing wisdom, but they don't have the greatness of the wisdom of God. And all the people you know locally, you know, and families and people you turn to or whatever, you know, when it really becomes this something that's life-provoking in your life, you ought not turn to anybody who doesn't know God. You need to, you know, if your life isn't in, if you haven't figured out yet that you need to be in God, you don't really have a whole lot of wisdom for me.
No,
I mean, that's the simplest of things, that we were created by God and that the Lord upholds all things by the word of his power. In other words, everything works because God causes it to be so. By him, all things consist, including my life. And when I'm trying to get my life in order, remember we did a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not talking about your, it didn't say the footsteps of a person like people like to think. The steps, the motions, the moves,
yes.
the progress, the progression of a good man is ordered by God. What is David referring to? Good because they give to Red Cross? No, good as in God, holy, living righteously, being under God. A good someone that God considers good. And if you know God, God loves righteousness and hates evil. So there's no one who has evil that God considers good. So, well, what about you, Bishop Smith? You've done evil at some point in your life. I have. That's why I have the blood. The blood cleanses me so that I become a good man. I wasn't a good man until the Lord saved me. I was born in sin like everybody else, but I became a good man because when the Lord saved me, he made me a good man. And the blood keeps me good as long as I will repent and as long as I will stay and allow the Lord to wash me and cleanse me. God will keep me. But you can grow to a point after a while if you don't understand God and won't stay with God, even though you're saved, you can grow to a point after a while where you carry sin purposely. So how do I carry sin purposely? You have something that you do that you know is not God, and you just keep on doing it.
Right.
And then it becomes something that's very dangerous. Yeah. It's called a presumptuous sin.
Yeah.
It's when you sin willingly, knowing that it's sin, and you continue in that way, the Bible says there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Because if you don't let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from your sin, and he won't, and it doesn't cleanse you until you repent of whatever it is. And it doesn't matter how many years alone. I've been saved now 40 years. What did you speak to your sister? No, we ain't spoken 20 years. And all that time, I'm wondering, how have you survived under the weight of the Holy Spirit's conviction and not have changed in the last 20 years? And it must be a mental thing or a mind thing or a soulful thing that you're doing. And you're carrying on your worship after the law, because by now, surely the Holy Ghost has said to you that if you do not repent, if you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Surely that has had to come to you more times than a few. Because that's the way of the Lord. Doesn't, you know, why doesn't everybody who comes to church, you know, what is the purpose in your coming? Don't you want to go to heaven?
Yes, it is.
Don't you want to be in the kingdom of heaven? Isn't that the point? Because your life is slipping away, whether you like it or not. And then when you actually get to a point where you understand the greatness of God and the eternity of God, you don't mind your life moving on. I'm closer to heaven now than I was when I first, Paul wrote the scripture. He says, now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. You need to say to yourself, I'm closer to heaven now than I was when I first got saved. And it shouldn't be that you're further from God now than you were when you first got saved. I mean, it shouldn't be that all of a sudden the world has worn you down to the point. There are many things we do in churches that you don't, you know, that are not necessary. They're traditions, but they keep people, at least in the church society. But there's some things that you need in God that you have to be careful that when you throw the bathwater out, you don't throw the baby out with it. Some things you can get rid of, but the things that you've learned in God and the faith that you've learned in God, you can't let the world wear you down where you feel like, I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm just on my way to heaven because I haven't committed a murder. I haven't killed anybody. I've heard people say this. I don't kill nobody. I don't steal.
You kill them with your mouth.
Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Oh, the extent. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, who has first given him and it shall be repaid unto them? who is smart enough to know all the mind of God? Matter of fact, we're working on it now at a point where on Tuesday nights where we're dealing with just growing in God. I want to have if God will allow me, I'll take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we'll just grow in God. But I found out that people generally don't want to grow but so much in God. Because with the knowledge of God comes the responsibility. You know, you don't want but so much. That's why a lot of older people don't go to Christian education. I don't need Christian education. I know David spoke Goliath. What you going to tell me? You don't want to grow but so much in God, because with that comes responsibility. Maybe that's what everybody's avoiding, because I can't. Ever since I've been preaching as a young person, I can't not bring people to a decision. Every preacher is supposed to bring people to a decision in their life. First of all, being saved, and then growing in God. That's the responsibility we have. Look at let me see. I looked at Ephesians 3:8. No, before I get to that, go to Deuteronomy 29:29. Let's go to the Old Testament for a change. Deuteronomy 29:29. What is that talking about? Deuteronomy 29:29. And it says, everybody there?
No.
Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we might do all the words of this law. The secret things belong to God. In other words, there's so much more. Remember in Romans when he talks about, oh, the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God and who has been his counselor. And I love it when we're teaching Age of Ages on Tuesday night, and from there we probably go into Romans and into Ephesians. But what we're trying to do is, and what the Lord would have us do, is get you to know more about God.
Yes.
You know, there's a verse in a song that I really don't dislike the song, but I get tired of hearing people who've been saved forever sing it. You know the verse is? If you don't believe I've been redeemed, just follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water and the water was cold. Chilled my body and not my soul. You know what? You can sing that all you want. I'm not going to say stop singing. I'm saying for me, if you don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream. No. If you don't believe I've been redeemed, my light needs to be brighter.
Right, all right, that's right.
If you don't believe I've been redeemed by now, you need to see more of the love of God in me.
Yeah.
And we don't go down to the Jordan stream. I know what you're talking about.
They don't go.
Well, it's right there in the song where when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing and shout, be nobody there to put me out. I get it. Slave song.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but my God, you know, by now, you know, like I said, if you want to sing them, that's fine. But for me, if you don't believe I've been redeemed, I have a problem. If it's not showing up that I've been redeemed when I'm with my family, after General Assembly, I'm going to visit my sister, my last remaining aunt, and her brother-in-law, go visit some friends. They all know that I'm saved and sanctified for the Lord. And it doesn't matter to me whether they ever get saved. It does matter to me if they ever get saved. But my point being, they can be saved on themselves. They know I am.
Yes.
And I don't pretend I'm not. And they don't keep me from doing what I'm supposed to do in God. Because God comes first. Because I know of the greatness of God. I got it. And he works it so that I don't ignore people. And he says, and it's the secret things belong to God. Let's try another one. Daniel 2. Let's see what that's all about. Daniel 2 and 20, it says. And Daniel answered. This is when Nebuchadnezzar, somebody needs to get the handwriting, get the dream. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. For wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons, and he removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and set up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in him." Listen to me. You really want to know what's facing you? You need God. He knows what is in the darkness. In other words, he knows those things that you don't know. And life is given to him. God knows the things that you don't know. And life is given to you. Everybody in here this morning, I know me, because I know what I'm crying out. I want this church paid off. I need a miracle. We need a miracle. I'm tired of dragging it along. I would really like to get it paid off. And we need a miracle. I just don't like it hanging over me. And maybe that's God's way. Maybe that's like Paul. Maybe that's my thorn. Maybe that's what it is, because maybe that's what keeps me humble. Maybe I just blow up and become all kinds of exalted. Probably not. No. But everybody in here and everybody on Zoom, remind, or whoever you are, faith's up this morning. We were just talking about you this morning. We thought we lost you forever. Everybody in here has something in your life that you want God to change, short of immortality, because that changes everything. And you're already contemplating with God what needs to happen in order for it to work out. You have your laundry list of what needs to happen in order for it to work out. I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have the front of this church remodeled so we could put a facade on that resembles the church. There's so many things I'd like to have done. And I work out my mind. Well, maybe somebody, maybe I'll pray for somebody and I'll heal their autistic child and they'll just be a billionaire and they'll give the church $200,000, something like that. That'd be nice. It'd be nice because the child's healed and they would see the glory of God. Not that they pay me for the miracle, because it wouldn't be my miracle, it'd be God's miracle, but it would help the church. But the thing that the Word of God says concerning God is, and that takes us to our next scripture, doesn't it? It takes us to Ephesians 3:8. And I'll go to that one. Ephesians 3:8. And since I'm using my iPad, I can have both of them at the same time, and then. No, that's not the one I want. Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
"To me, who am less than least of all saints, grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." This is what we learn on Tuesday night. "To the extent that now the manifold wisdom of God should be made known by the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places." And those of you who are here on Tuesday nights, I'm reading this in New King James, so in King James you should be able to follow. You know that we talk about all the worlds and all the God beyond just on earth, but in all these different places. "According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness with confidence through faith in him." Go down to 16. Actually, 19. No, I said it right. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man." And this is one of the prayers, and this is one of the things I pray all the time as far as the saints are concerned. For everybody who comes to Promise, I don't want you just to enjoy Promise Church for the sake of enjoying church work. Although, like I said, I wish we had a big, big band over here and musicians and praise and worship team. I wish we had all that. And if I could, if the people would come to Promise with the intent to come enough and be faithful enough and have the mindset to do something, you can do a lot of things in God. Think of all the things you do in life, things that you're willing to try. He says in this that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit and inner man. So the main thing I want is for everybody sitting here this morning, everybody on Zoom, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You need to ask God, Lord, fill me with your spirit, not just knowledge, but Lord, I really need your spirit. By now, the word of God should have been apparent to everyone in here, it certainly is to me, that you cannot be like God without the spirit of God. You will never grow in God without the spirit of God. And Paul is praying that they not only have the Holy Spirit, but it be strong in them. In other words, have influence, have impact. Does the Holy, if you have the Holy Ghost, does he have any impact in your life? Or is he just riding with you and you're just driving wherever you want to go? Which one is it? Does he have any impact? Can the Holy Spirit turn you? Is he able to influence you so that the things you would do without him, you don't do because he influences you and you learn the righteousness of God and you see the light of God in him so that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you? Because as much as people like to claim that they are super spiritual, you're no more spiritual than you are available to be led by the Spirit. And flesh can do a lot.
Yes, it can.
Flesh can imitate a lot.
Yes, it can.
Your soul and your mind can act so holy.
Yes, it can.
But God is not looking for people who act holy or act righteous. He's looking for people who are holy.
Amen.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit has brought them there. And who are righteous. And if you're the sort of person who fills up on the Holy Ghost when you're in church and then you go someplace else and let it drip, you're just, what you have is a bucket with holes in it.
Yes.
Soon as you fill up in the Lord, it leaks out.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you now, it's like scraping mud off the bottom of your shoe as you come in the door. The Holy Ghost is not going to go with you in places where he does not want to be.
Well, that's true.
He's going to warn you. Boy, you get in there. That's some place that I don't want to be. And he'll ride with you for a moment because he's trying to get you to change your mind. But if you insist that you're going to keep on being a part of that, eventually he's just going to say, I'm not going in there any longer. He's saying, this is where we part company. I can go no further with you. Because God, when you read Ezekiel, I was reading it the other day, and again, God told Israel, he says, you know what? I'm going to deliver you for my name's sake, he says, but you have profaned my name before the Gentiles. He says, you have done things that even they don't do. He said in one part, he says, you're so evil. He said that what I'm going to do to you, he said, if Noah, Job, and Daniel had prayed and asked me to forgive you for that, he said, I wouldn't even hear their prayers. He said, I'd save them, but you're so far from me. You know that's something.
Yeah,
he told him in another place, he says, you know what? You're more evil than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what you say. That's right.
That's what he told him. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And so this is something else. I'm not satisfied. You know, it's not an issue of me being satisfied. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to cry out for the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that when Jesus comes back on the cloud, in the cloud with the presence of God, the Shekinah glory when Jesus shows up, don't you know without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you're not going to be changed? You're not going to go up to meet Jesus and then be changed because this mortal body that you have can't get off the ground.
That's right.
What's going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye is you. Then you'll go up. You have to have the Holy Spirit already dwelling in you. That's why God, he keeps sending you the manual and asking you, read the instructions, read the qualifications, read the requirements. No! Because in that great day, I have to say like old people on this one, everybody talking about heaven ain't going there. You need to know the Lord. Something else that Ezekiel and Isaiah both said. They said in that great day, There won't be a law written down that you'll wear on your phylacteries and wear on your body. He says God will put it in your heart, and he'll say to every man, know the Lord.
Yes.
Know him. Cry out for the Spirit. Learn to pray. Sanctify, come to prayer. We pray every day over here at 12 o'clock, and we pray different times. You know, sometimes, you don't have to stay for an hour. Stick your head in the door and pray for a minute. Heaven is that important. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded.
Yes.
Verse 17, everybody look. See if I can do this in King James at the same time. Yeah, that's what I want. He says in this in 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, in the love of God. Be sure of it. Who in here understands in Romans, the 5th chapter, and when it says in that, it says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. When you, all of us are adults in here, and all of us have been in the Lord for a while, when you read the portion that says, for the love of God is shed in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, you must immediately go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, to understand what the love of God is. Charity suffereth long. In other words, it's patient, it's kind, it provokes not. That's the love that it's referring to. And people say, well, I got the agape love. And do you know what that is? It's the kind of love for people that he spared not his own son, but gave him up for us. And it's the kind of love that the son has for us. So that when he's on the cross dying for us, he says, Father, forgive them. You know, they're doing all this to me, but forgive them anyway. This is what I came to do. Do you know what great price was paid for us to have salvation? Do you understand all that God went through so that we would be redeemed? Because we're important to him. We're his purchased possession. We're a peculiar people. And it's time now for everybody to understand what he means by peculiar people. It doesn't mean odd and strange. We're peculiar people. We're different from everybody else. It doesn't mean that. It means peculiar in the sense that you belong to someone. Like this land at 768th Street, it's peculiar. It's a peculiar property. It's not available. It's not vacant. It belongs to Promise Church. You're a peculiar people, which means you, if you have ever read a deed or legalese, it means you belong to someone. I belong to someone. I'm not just a random person out here. I'm not orphaned and estranged. I'm a peculiar, I mean, I'm someone's peculiar property. I belong to God.
Yes.
That's what we are. You belong to God.
Yes.
Therefore, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing.
Yes.
And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Dearly beloved, and therefore having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness and fear of God. His enemy. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded to the point where you say, I can't do that. I can't give up on God. And grounded in love. In other words, as it's grown into me, I'm solid, I'm planted, and I'm settled in it. So that I can't be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the river. I'm settled in it.
Yes.
This is who I am. I'm a saved person. You know, I'm not a sinner. I'm a saved person.
Yes,
well, you had
right.
A business on that. And I'm asking God to forgive me for it too. But I'm a saved person.
Yes.
And don't let sinners accuse you.
Yes,
don't
right.
Let people challenge your stand for God.
Right.
Because they don't let you challenge them. You know, sinners don't let you challenge them about not coming to church, about not praying. They don't let you challenge them about drinking liquor. They don't let you challenge them about smoking cigarettes. They don't let you challenge them about sleeping with whoever they want to sleep with. They don't let you challenge them with being with whatever they are. They don't let you challenge them.
Nope.
Don't be judging me.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what they say, yeah.
And then when you say, well, I can't be here because I need to be, we have service on Tuesday. Hey, you got service all the time, man. You go to church anywhere. I don't need to go to no church. Church is in my heart. I don't have to do that for God. God, you know, you need to cut them off at the knees. So, well, how do I do that? You need to say, that's you.
Yes.
But I need God. Not just rant and rave all you want about how you are and press on, but I need God.
I need God.
And they will proceed to show you just how ungodly they are and how close you are to sin. How much you're rubbing up against it. because they will express themselves. So you want to go with us to the jazz festival? So, no, you know, I prefer not to. That doesn't really agree with my spirit. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nah. What kind of church you in? These people, they say just like you say. You cut them off the knee and say, look, you know, it just doesn't work for me. You have to guard your own salvation. Make your calling and election sure. No one can do that for you but you. The Holy Ghost does all he can, but in the bottom line, the decision is yours. You have to decide what you're going to do for God. You know why? Because there is no such thing as group salvation. Every person becomes an individual when it comes to being saved and when it comes to being filled. And you can blame whomever you want. But since God has done all the work, has given his son to die because died the death that we needed for sin, be buried for the separation we need to be separated from sin, be resurrected so we'd be new and born again and we'd have an opportunity to have eternal life, since Christ has been evidently crucified and resurrected again and given his blood to keep us saved so that when we're wrong, the Holy Ghost comes in, whom God gave us, he quickened our spirit, gave us the awareness and brought our spirit to life so that we know that God is real, given us his spirit, given us his Holy Ghost dwelling in us, who dwells in us, who speaks to our conscience and to us and says to us, this is not the way of the Lord, and gives us an opportunity to repent, and the blood is there, so I don't have to prick my finger, cut my wrist, or do anything else because my blood wouldn't count anyway.
Right.
Since God has done everything to keep me saved and has promised me eternal life with him throughout all eternity, has done all that, promised me immortality and this great salvation. And I can't stand up and say, that's not something I'm willing to do.
Right.
Where you used to, that was someone else.
That's right.
Used to.
I'm a new creature.
That's right.
You ain't the first person who heard about God said, well, glory to God, I'm glad I'm not. Glad I'm not. And then you really want to do something? Turn around and ask him and say, what have you done in your life since you heard about God?
All right. Yeah.
What difference has he made in your life? Don't be talking to me about no God. Who you think you are? You know, don't be telling me about no God. Who you think you are? I've been around. You know what you need to do after that? So, okay, I won't be involved in this conversation again. Being rooted and grounded in love. That you being rooted around and being in love, okay, 18, and I'm going to finish, this is going to be it for this morning because my time is up, may be able to comprehend with all saints, may be able to understand with all saints, what is the breadth or the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may have everything that God offers, that you know the breadth, well, we don't say breadth these days. We say the width and the depth and the length and the height. You know, when you put all those together, it creates the volume. Did you know the volume? Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, Jesus says. When he says, to do thy will, O God, a body thou hast prepared for me, he says in Hebrews. Lo, I come, and in parentheses it says, in the volume of the book it is written of me. In other words, in the totality of it. And what's that referring to? This is all about Christ.
Yes.
A to Z. And he says, we should be able to comprehend with all saints, understand with all the saints. We should be able among ourselves to understand just how great God is, how broad he is, and how deep he is, and how great his love is for us. It covers everything. There's nothing above God, the height of God. There's no place that you can get so low that God can't dig you out. The depths of him. Oh, I'm super sensitive. You know, I just don't like talking about God is deeper than you. The length, the extent that God will go through. His greatness. He's over everything. He rules over the universe. He has all power. And we're stumbling around over a little everyday life problem that sinners have already figured out. Sinners know how to make their way through the world. Jesus told the disciples, he says, in the world, sinners are smarter than you. He told them one time, he says, you need to be wise as serpents and gentle as lambs. He said, because the sinners know how to do that. They know how to work their way in the world. They're smarter than you. Have more money than you, better positions than you, and really, as far as earth goes, live a much better life than you probably ever will. And yet they don't have what we have.
They
don't. I don't envy them. They sure should envy me.
Yes.
Yet they don't have what I have. In my sight, since I've grown in God, every time I look at all the billionaires, the Trumps, the Bezos, and all them, to me they look like worms. Muddling around in the world. Even the Obamas, you name them. Because I know they don't have what I have. And the wisdom of the world is foolishness. He says in this, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. With all the fullness, with all that God gives in simple terms. I guess there are many other ways we can say it. Excuse me. But all the fullness of God refers to, you know, everything that the Lord does. How he saved us, how he delivered us, how he brought us out. I have several more scriptures, but I'm going to stop right there today. Because I have to start being on schedule. We get our sign up in next month, and then we have Christian education from 10 to 11, and then at 11:15 we have our worship service. And today I really want to just go into our worship service at 11:15. I'm going to get on my timetable, so I'll finish this lesson out. If I don't finish it out today, I'll finish it out next Sunday, because I have when I get back to General Assembly, or Shonda will finish it out. She will be here next Sunday. I want to encourage everybody that next Sunday, everybody lift your hands, let me pray for you. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for this great salvation that we have, Lord, that is far above all powers and all principalities and all rulers, O God. But Lord, you are higher than the heavens, O God. You are holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man, O God. Lord, let your spirit be strong in us and turn us toward you and towards the light, O God. Lord, let us offer up our hearts and our minds and our souls, Lord, our affections, our desires, that they might be filled with light. Even the light of the glorious gospel, the light of our God, the light of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, and the light of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And Father, I pray, Lord, you move among us today, Lord, there for all of us who are sick in these mortal bodies, Lord, these vile bodies. Lord, move, Lord, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. And Lord, let your spirit be, the power of the Holy Spirit be manifest in us, O God. You would confirm the word of God, and that the God we serve is God. Lord, that the words that I preach are the words of God. Lord, that I am your servant. Lord, I pray, Lord, you move among the people. Lord, in their hearts and their desires. And Lord, I pray, Lord, work things out for them, that they would be drawn to you, and cause them to be a light that would draw others. And Lord, we'll forever glorify your name. We'll give you all the honor and all the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. There is one point that I was making that I will finish, and that is that I was saying to you when I was asking you about problems. You need to get to a point where you understand that God is able to work things out far, far, far in so many different ways that you have never thought of. God has ways of moving that you have never thought of. So, well, how far are they that we never thought of? When he does work them out, we call them miracles. God has a way of working things out that you've never thought of. You need to commit your way to the Lord and watch God work. God will open doors and move in ways that you never thought of. Doors will open, money will come, different things in life will happen if you will allow the Lord to work out things that you need out of your life. God will send.
Yes.
He will bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you. That is the word of God. When you allow the Lord and stop limiting God to the things that you can think of in your mind of how to get things done, and ask God to move and watch God work. But there is one caveat. There is one requirement. You have to be in line with God. For God to work miracles in your life, because when God is moving and God is speaking, you have to be close enough to God to recognize what is God and what is not.
Amen.
Because as soon as you ask God to move for you, the devil is like you. The devil is like, I'm trying to finish this. You ever see something, you ever know of a device or an item that's kind of expensive and kind of pricey, and you might need it? Call it a light bulb. And it might cost $40-$50. And then all of a sudden you turn on TV and they're offering that same bulb for $5.29. Well, you know that's not true. And it's not going to do what the other one does. It's a knockoff.
soon as you ask God to give you a miracle, the devil rushes in with a knockoff. And you need to be accountable for it. Something substandard. If you won't come and hear the word of God and allow the Spirit of God to move, you will go off with the knockoff, and then you'll turn around and blame God. Say, well, you know, God told me to do that. That didn't work. You have to, when you're asking God for a miracle, you must stay close to God. Because the devil is a liar, and he's an imitator, and he's always trying to get in front of God. That's what he does. If you need a miracle from God, you must draw nigh to God. Because, and you can look this one up for yourself, because it's the word of God. Because even the devil shows up, Satan shows up as an angel of
light.
He shows up as an angel of light. In other words, he shows up pretending to know what you need and how to get you there. He shows up with a knowledge.
Go ahead.
So for everybody this morning, I pray for you again. For everybody this morning, you're waiting on God to move something in your life or whatever. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to have to pray for that even now, although I pray. You're waiting for God to move and do something in your life or work something out in your life.
Yes.
God is ready to move for you.
Yes.
He's ready to move for you.
Yes.
And God will move for you. But you're going to have to learn to trust God.
Yes.
You're going to have to learn to trust God. You need the Lord to move for you?
Yes.
Trust
yes.
God. Demetrius, you need God to work on you and get this business open? You need to learn to trust God.
That's yes.
And stop telling, you know, for everybody in here, stop telling God, I can't because of this is in my way, this is in my way. Ask God to move it.
Yes. Commit that way.
And then trust God. And go on in God. And when the word of God comes and says to you, like, you know, like with all the prophets, they would ask and say, well, how do I get this axe handle to float? And Elijah just throw a stick in there and say, okay, there it is. It's there.
Yes.
You got to learn that when the word of God is going forth, you get a word from God, obey God.
Obey God.
Now, if you're not going to obey God, you can't expect anything from God. Because you have to learn to obey Him.
Yes.
To work things out. Sister Sturgis, God will work things out. You got some things you need God to move in. You're one of the most brilliant people I've met in a very long time. And yet you need God to work something out that is beyond all that you can ask or think. There is a thing in your life, something in your life, that you really need God to move so that Wanda is all right. So that you're all right. Oh, to all of us, everything seems all right all the time. But there's a thing in your life that you need God to move in so that you are really all right. Yes. And God is going to do that for you. The Lord will move because He's done it for me.
Yes.
Sister Gamma, how's it coming with this VA? It's going to work out. Do you hear me? Because God knows you have a need. And then God's going to touch you in your body. Because He told me. But it's going to work out because God knows you have a need. But when it works out, don't stop paying your tithes because you're a tithe payer. And don't act like God didn't do it. Give God the glory.
Yes.
Because the word of God came to you and told you that's what you needed to do. And when the word of God comes and tells you that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. And it's working. Give it a minute. But it's going to work out. All right? And it's not going to be small.
All right. All right.
And it's not going to be small.
Yes.
Because from the time you submit a claim
that's
to
a
whenever you get it, if it's a year later, 2 years, ask Elder Latham, ask L. Elson.
You ask me.
They've asked me.
Yeah.
Get them big checks because it ain't.
What? The Elson check.
It shows up.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It does. And when it comes, don't cast your pearls to the swine. Praise the Lord.
Praise
Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, move everybody who's in Promise Church. Move Ella Rogers. She's been waiting for a long time. Lord, move Ella Rogers. Lord, stretch forth thy hand of mercy. Lord, we ask you right now, Lord, for a miracle blessing, Lord, in every way. Lord, move in Ella Rogers' life. Move in Brother Demetrius' life. Lord, move for Sister Gamble, Sister Sturgis. Lord, Minister Smith. Lord, move in Promise Church and all of us, Lord, who need the Lord to just move and change things, oh God. Lord, by your miracle working power, Lord, open up a door for Brother Demetrius. Lord, here in Fort Walton Beach, Lord, so he can work in this church and be someone, Lord, who can give himself to the Lord without distraction. Move everything he needs in this area.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, do it for your glory.
Lord, do it, Lord, that you'll be able to work a work in him. Lord, move him in this area. In the name of Jesus, Lord, open doors and make a way for him. In the name of Jesus, Lord, move for Sister Sturgis. Lord, all that she needs, Lord, what she needs, Lord, she don't, you know, she doesn't need a whole lot of money, don't need a lot of anything else, Lord. Just move in her life so that she has peace, Lord, that passes understanding. Lord, so that she has peace that she's never felt before, oh God. Lord, move in her life. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, move for Sister Gamble. Lord, make her a light that sitteth on the hilltop, oh God. Lord, that shuts all the mouths of those, Lord, who question her faith, question her love for God, question her loyalty to her family. Lord, who has questions about all that she does. Lord, I pray, Lord, make her the head and not the tail. And Lord, raise her up to sit above them. Do for her, Lord, like you did for Joseph. In the name of Jesus. Lord, move for Minister Smith, oh God. Lord, move her out in her ministry. Lord, I pray, Lord, you would bless her in the ministry she has, Lord. Lord, and Promise Christian Life Ministries, Lord, move for her. And Lord, cause it to be broad. And Lord, cause the life to be great in the name of Jesus, in the sight of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the sight of God. Lord, I pray, Lord, in every one of us. Lord, let your Shekinah glory, Lord, be in everything we would do. Lord, and in this place, Lord, where we now dwell, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the Shekinah glory of God, Lord, that would scrape off every evil and unclean spirit at the door. As they walk upon the lot, Lord, we proclaim this land, 716 Ed Street, Lord, for the Most High God, Jehovah God, for the Word, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the Holy Ghost, who is the Holy Spirit, who dwells in every one of us. Lord, write your name here, put your glory here, let your light shine from this place, Lord, continually in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we stand against every evil and unclean spirit, wherever they may be. Lord, let them have not have any place in our life, place in our church, place on this property. Say to the Lord, rebuke you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, work things out for Brother Sturgis in this house. Lord, fix things with Brother Sturgis in this house. Work those things out and settle all issues. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, anoint to man, oh God, so we have musicians that are faithful. Lord, that you have musicians that are faithful. Lord, let him be a David. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let him be a Timothy. Cause him to be someone, Lord, who's full of faith. Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, bless the youth in this church. Give them a desire and a heart for God. Bless the court. Damascus, oh God. Bless Zara. Lord, I pray, Lord, bless Aram, oh God. Raise him up, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Elder Reed. Bless Elder Smith. Bless Elder Latham, oh God. Bless Mother Warens. Minister Stedmeyer. Bless Elder Elsie, Sister Elsie. Bless Sister Faith. Lord, give Faith more faith. Lord, let her be as her namesake. Lord, wrought a change in her life. Lord, move in her life. And Lord, bring a change in her life. Lord, hold her to the commitments that she's made concerning you.
Yes.
Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, we're finished for this morning. Let's take a 5-minute break. And let's